audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Intro. How you like it, listeners? You dropped into Juicebox, featured on campus and community radio station CITR on the FM dial at 101.9 in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our many, many online and international listeners that just love this show. And that's at www.citr.ca. Either way, anyway, we're glad to have you. So tonight on Juicebox Radio, I am not alone in the house. I'm actually in with a friend. Hi, Faustine. She's going to maybe giggle once in a while. Perhaps she'll add in a few words, but she's just here to give me some support and to be a shining face in the booth. And she actually offered me an idea for tonight's show when I spoke to her earlier today. So that's always helpful because, you know what, coming up with content is always a little challenging. So I put a lot of heart and soul in tonight's show. It took me 2.5 hours to produce it, so I'm hoping that it will be informative and helpful for all of you listeners out there. Yeah, we are changed. We have a new intro, a new theme song, 10 o'clock start, brand new sexy time podcasted. And you know what? It's changing every week. So if you have something to contribute to the conversation, please feel free to call in tonight at 604-822-2487. I'm getting better and better at answering the calls properly and getting you on air. So feel free to. Don't be shy. And here we are, second show at 10 o'clock, a much sexier time. What better way to celebrate than to help those of you who are finding your sex life a little boring? Are you sleeping with the same person? You know what? It can become kind of predictable over time, but that doesn't mean it's all over. And I'll explain why the fire can fade even if you're still in love and how to reignite that spark. Or if it's not with a new, it's not with somebody that you've been with for a long time, but it's just someone that you've been with for maybe 6 months to a year. Maybe your various lovers you have aren't pleasing you. This kind of an extension of last week's show on faking orgasm. You can listen to past shows as well by logging on to www.juiceboxradio.com or find out about what's coming up, or even better, please send me a note, make a comment, ask some questions. It'd be wonderful to know that you're listening. So Anyway, we are doing an extension of last week's show around how to get more of the sex you want and bringing back the buzz. Well, you know what? Once the honeymoon's over, and that's the honeymoon stage or the honeymoon itself, wedding-wise, you settle into sort of the humdrum pattern of everyday life. It's very common. It's easy to get bored. Sex might go from something you do because you just can't keep your hands off each other to free entertainment on a Friday night because really there's nothing else on TV. Kind of the humdrum. And most of us assume that the sex we enjoy in the first heady days of a relationship is the best that we can expect, and it's all downhill from there. But here's the good news. It can get better and better over time rather than worse. And I know this for a fact, being a sex educator and from having the experience in relationship myself. But you know what? It's easy to put the freshness back. You just have to make a concerted effort. So I'm going to give you some pointers on that. And in fact, if you've been together for some time, it can be even more exciting and adventurous than your early days sex. Because one big advantage to an established couple that has over a new couple is the increased level of trust. And this makes it much more comfortable to ask for something different, for something new, or to sort of explore your sexual self that might be more embarrassing with somebody you don't know very well. So to keep things exciting, you know what, you're going to, like I said, have to go out of your way and you're going to have to make some effort to make romantic gestures, to suggest new approaches, but it's all worth it because you can put fire and excitement into an established relationship far more easily than you can put trust into a new one. And in fact, people who have affairs often say they're looking for the love and the sexual satisfaction that they felt that they weren't getting at home. But according to research, even couples who said their sex life was unsatisfactory tended to admit that it was still better than extramarital sex. Interesting. So to start off, I thought I'd read the difference in opinion of two very outspoken writers of different genders, because I'm not a male, and it's kind of hard sometimes to imagine a male perspective. So I like to try to slide in a little male perspective on every show if I can. And, you know, many people say, and know, many people believe very much so, that men and women are so different, especially in the realm of sex and relationships. So, listeners, you tell me what you think of these opinions when asked what to do with the boring sex life. Well, he says, plenty of sex is good, but after a while it gets boring, especially if it's with the same person. The saying, abstinence makes the heart grow fonder, applies to everything in life, even sex. Plenty of sex is good, but after a while it gets boring, especially if it's with the same person. So my first tip to cure a bland sex life is abstinence. I know it sucks, but just think about all the stored up libido you'll have. When you finally release it, it will feel oh so good. Another alternative you might consider is talking with your lover. I know it sounds stupid, but this is a guy, okay? I know it sounds stupid, but it really works. Tell him about your fantasies. Wear a navy suit, a schoolgirl outfit, having sex in public, whatever you're into. You can find out so much about your partner when you ask him about what turns him on. This is also a good way to find out if you're dating a freak who's into water sports. The mere thought of sitting down for a one-on-one expose on what goes on in your head may be awkward at first, but the more comfortable you feel around your partner, the more intimate your coital sessions will be. Just don't mention that you're into weird things like pleasuring yourself in front of your cat. The other advantage of this tactic is that you will know that you're giving your partner the satisfaction of doing something he has always wanted to do. While you're confessing your seediest, lustful scenarios, play around and talk dirty. Don't act like a six-year-old and say pee-pee, and don't be all technical and call it a penis. Sex is fun when it's dirty. It adds a little spice if you use the words like fuck, cock, and pussy. Naughty, huh? You know you're bad. Yes, that's right. Give it up. Oh, sorry. I got sidetracked there a second. Anyway, just keep adding some flavor in there, but if your lover gets too rowdy, you have to spank him good and hard. This brings me to our ingredient, S&M. That's sadism and masochism. If you're not into whips, chains, and leather, don't fret, but it's not really necessary to have props. Although handcuffs work like a charm, a nice good slap on the cheeks will have him screaming in delight. You can also trade dominating and submissive roles. I'm sure you'll find it titillating to see him beg for some. The last thing you could do is introduce some porn into your lives. Not that softcore shit they play on Cinemax at 3 a.m. I'm talking about $69.95 porn you get in a brown bag. I think that'd probably be $89.95 in Canada. Watch it together. Explore a video seminar of other people getting freaky. You can maybe even make a home porn. Just make sure you destroy it if you ever break up. So don't have sex for some days. Talk about your fantasy and act them out. Use lots of dirty words, spank each other, and make each other beg. Watch some porn, get off, and have a cigarette. If that doesn't work, then you have a serious relationship problem. This is what he said, okay? And now she says, guys don't usually have problems getting a little kinky in bed, so you shouldn't have any hesitation asking your boyfriend to join in. I don't know what that means, but sounds spicier than we might imagine. Okay, the most important thing to consider is whether or not both of you are enjoying the lovemaking. I would assume that at least one of you is enjoying it. Why else would you be having sex? But it is possible that part of the reason you're not enjoying it is because neither of you are, but you both think the other one likes it. Talk with your boyfriend and find out if he thinks there's room for improvement in the bedroom. Open communication is the sexiest part of a relationship because then you both will know what turns the other one on. Truth. Very true. But let's just assume, for the sake of this article, that your boyfriend absolutely loves having sex with you and is completely oblivious to the fact that you're not quite getting there. Not a very big stretch for most guys, right, girls? This is actually a pretty common complaint among women that's quite easy to understand. Girls are designed differently from men, and men really have no way of practicing before getting to the real thing. Men often don't know exactly what turns a woman on. The problem, however, arises when a woman is too ashamed to tell her partner that he's not satisfying her. This is where the faking orgasm part, the link from last week's show. This problem only gets worse when a woman thinks that faking it is better than letting the guy know he didn't finish the job. Men, unfortunately, aren't mind readers, so they won't know what they're doing wrong unless you tell them. Okay, so what if you don't even know what turns you on? Once again, this is a very common situation. Many women are raised in sheltered households where things like masturbation and sexual exploration are forbidden, even just as topics of discussion. But it's very important that a woman realize what satisfies her and that she know exactly how to make that happen. Then the fun comes in. You can show your boyfriend exactly how to turn you on, and he gets his own mini peep show out of the deal. Now, if none of this applies to you and you're just one of those couples who have lost that initial spark of a blossoming romance, there's still hope. All you have to do is try something new that you both might enjoy. Be experimental. There are plenty of great books out there to help you get ideas. And try new things that touch on some of your fantasies. Guys don't usually have a problem getting a little kinky in bed, so you shouldn't have a problem asking your boyfriend to join along. I guess that's what she meant. I do not suggest going too wild or attempting to bring someone else into the picture. There's definitely a limit on kinky that can end up hurting a relationship. Now, there's a judgment call that I'll have to speak to. Overall, the important thing is to maintain open communication. If you've been dating for over a year, your boyfriend should be informed if you're not enjoying any aspect of the relationship. Good luck and have fun. Now, I don't know about you, Faustine, but that's quite a contrast. So, you know, I usually hear this type of response, and many sex educators recommend what both of these people have spoken to. And they definitely recommend things like communication, role play, porn, toys, open relationships even sometimes. And these ideas are all warranted in certain circumstances. But, you know, I thought tonight I'd take a different hit to recommend ideas to spice up your partner's sex life. Ones that are a little softer. Ones that you can apply to the beginning of any relationship or after 10, 20, 30 years of being in relationship, and kind of applies a little bit more broadly to the general public. Because the last few shows I've done on spicing up your sex life and things like that, I've had, there's been a lot about the role playing and a lot about the bringing the toys and the communication and sort of more of the harder core stuff, like, you know, talking about opening up your relationship. For some couples, I recommend that. If they're having a pretty healthy sex life, they have a good communication, they really love each other, respect each other, but, you know, they both openly admit that they're just kind of bored with each other, they've been together for 10 years or whatever, I sometimes recommend opening up the relationship. This show is not about that. So, but you know what? I'd be happy to do one on polyamory, swinging, and all the rest of it. I tend to do a little bit of harder shows that way, so tonight we're doing something a little softer. Why does long-term relationship sex fade? A lot of people ask this question for me too, and I want to tell you that the feeling that the magic is fading is caused by, really, all it comes down to is the chemistry in your body, the adrenaline charge wearing off, the chemistry of that spark between two new people is wearing off. It happens across the board. Doesn't matter how much you loved and are crazy about each other from the beginning. Sooner or later, it becomes clear which way your shared lovemaking is going to go. I mean, you know, the knowledge that you both have of each other and what turns each other on, you have a well-worn repertoire of sexual practices, and when you have that well-worn and frequent, you know, same kind of sex, it kills expectation and it kills excitement. And so that kind of spark that doesn't happen anymore because you don't have any surprises, you know, is basically what takes the fizzle out of your sexual experiences. And one couple I remember I helped educate had exactly this problem. They still loved each other really, like, so deeply, but felt that their sex life had become stale and disappointing. And I recommended that they start again. And that's what I'm going to be doing tonight, is talking about how to start again. So they realized that all the things they did to each other when they made love were based on discoveries from the first year or so of their relationship. That's normally what happens. So I recommend starting over, and that is that couples over time find touches, techniques, and preferences that the other seem to enjoy and usually develop this well-worn routine from first kiss to final hug. But our tastes change. I mean, we want surprises. We want newness. That's a human element. And things you once liked are now boring. And, you know, we usually are ready to try things that you would have been too shy to suggest in the early days, which is what I'm talking about. So when you have that trust built up in a relationship, it gives you more room to try new things on. So here are some practical exercises to starting over. One of them that I really recommend, this one takes about an hour, so make sure you put enough time aside and start by preparing your space. Preparing your space is something that tantric practitioners really talk about a lot, and it's really important that you take a look around the room that you're about to have the sexual thing in. If you're going to go to this much work, make sure that you have the right space to be doing that. So do a quick tidy up if you want. Definitely make sure that there's no unfinished jobs that could catch your eye and make your mind go to that unfinished job. You know, spying a pile of huge ironing tends to kill the mood or whatever. And a quick tip is to invest in a satin throw or some kind of fabric that you can throw out there and set the scene wherever and whenever you want to make love, and to help keep your furniture and carpets clean, so that, you know, for the more anal ones in us, or, you know, anally retentive, I meant, that you can relax about that and not think, oh God, the chocolate just spilt on this or whatever. You know, and lighting's really important. So this is all about the look. You know, our senses are so important when it comes to sexuality. Tinted light bulbs can change the mood of a room, or alternately, nothing beats candles for a touch of romance. So also the sound. Think about this space that you're preparing. What do you want to hear while you're making love? Would you like background music? What mood would you like to create? You know, whether you choose energetic and pumping tunes or something a little more relaxing and ambient, beware of distracting lyrics and make sure it's quiet enough so you can still hear your partner and not have to be like, what? Pardon? I hear that all the time. The partner's like, what did you say? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm whispering sweet nothings in your ear and you can't hear me. And then the smell. Like, there's a number of ways you can create an atmosphere of scents, and you could burn incense or light a scented candle. Make sure that they're not too strong. That's really important. And whatever you choose, try them out beforehand, because especially with essential oils, people can be allergic, and with fake oils as well, or fake scents. But an oil burner is a good investment. There's a huge range of essential oils, which is what I recommend, something as natural as possible. And ylang ylang is generally considered one of the most sensual. There's more. I'll tell you more in later on in the hour. And you're going to be naked. You're going to be naked for this exercise, and you might be naked for some of the other ones. So be sure you put the heating on and make sure it's nice and warm for at least an hour so that you can totally let yourself go and not be like all chilly, and that'll get you out of the mood. So, and of course, make sure you're not disturbed. So in all these exercises I'm about to share with you, make sure you've got unplugged the phone, you've locked your door, you're not going to have people coming in, you're not going to have people phoning in or whatever. So all very important. So this is about preparing the space. And one of the first exercises I talk about is the sensate focus. And that comes from the years of Johnson & Johnson research. And this was an important part of people trying to rebuild their, if they had erectile dysfunction and other things. But it's really an amazing, and it's a very tantric practice as well. You know, touching is probably the most important part of any sensual relationship. And it's always seems to be forgotten. So sensate focus is a series of exercises designed to help you become more comfortable with touch, to build trust and intimacy, but it can also develop into a really super hot experience of learning, of pleasure, of communication that can reignite both of your fires. And like I said, it's a tantric practice, so you know that this old school sensual exercise is going to work. And before you start, it's important that you both agree for this particular exercise that it's not a prelude to sex and genital touching, and that touching in the genital area is actually out of bounds. You may find you become aroused during the exercise, but this isn't the aim. Take it in turns to be the touched and the toucher, and basically, you just need to, the person that's being touched, you just need to lend your partner your body for half an hour. So 15 minutes lying on your front, 15 minutes on your back. You don't need to say anything unless something's uncomfortable. But you know what? Tantric practitioners would advise you to communicate by moaning, by sighing, by saying, yes, that's good, or keep doing that. Typically making a request to change whatever is being done every few moments or every few minutes or so. So the toucher doesn't get stuck on one activity or area. which can become annoying for the person being touched. It's like if they keep circling your nipple, you're like, oh God, stop doing that. So the toucher, I recommend you explore your partner's body from head to toe. First on the back and then the front, but avoiding the genital area. Focus totally yourself on the sensations of touching your partner. Think about the different textures and temperatures of your partner's body. Think about how it feels to use hard and soft strokes, long and short strokes. Use your fingertips, use your palms and the back of your hands. Remember, this isn't a massage. The point is to focus on the pleasure of touching your partner and not giving pleasure to the genitals. You can do that another day. When you're finished, swap over, and after the hour's up, don't analyze it straight away, and in fact, agree that you won't talk about it for a few hours or for the day, and this will help you focus on the sensory experience rather than rationalizing the process in your mind. Now, I advise you try this as an exercise in a kind of abstinence, like earlier the guy was suggesting. Part of what makes a new lover so excited is that you are discovering someone for the first time, and then there's this space, like I was talking about, this mystery between you that's totally arousing. So this mystery also includes things that you feel you can't do, like have intercourse yet or go down on them or whatever. So if you take a break and just let things build up slowly, like you did when you first started engaging with each other, this can build your sexual tension back to the point where you want to rip each other's clothes off again and again. So, another way to increase your intimacy and spark up your sex life is to share an erotic bath. And the reason I'm starting with the erotic bath after the sensate is because the sensate thing, you don't really need to clean yourself. I mean, you know, you're not really having any kind of genital exchange or oral genital exchange. So, you know. But now we're going to get into the good stuff. So I think, you know, not that that wasn't good, but you know what I mean? The dirty stuff, okay? The orgasms, all right? So we're going to share. So the erotic bath is really, you know, it's one of my favorites. It's something that I usually tend to do when I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with someone, but I want to take it to another romantic level. So you want to use a combination of scent, sight, and touch to relax, to stimulate and satisfy both you and your partner. Candles, bath oils, gel, scented soaps, large, warm, fluffy towels, loofahs to scrub each other with, their sponges, and ice cubes. Make sure you bring a bowl of ice cubes into the bathroom. So set the scene, get the mood, every candle in the bathroom as possible, then turn the lights out. Hot water, generous amount of bath oil or gel and all those sort of things, incense, all that stuff that I was talking about. And you know what? Dissolve your stress by listening to the sound of the lapping water. Watch the flicker of the candlelight. Have it be nice and quiet and revel in the soothing sensation of everything that you're feeling on your body. And when you're both feeling relaxed, use a brush or a loofah or some kind of special gel or soap to work up a really good lather. Give your partner a full body scrub. And then add trickles of cold water or rub an ice cube on their sensitive spots to get their skin tingling. And then switch. And then after you finish washing each other, follow with like the sponges to soothe and to smooth the body. The key is that throughout you want to have contrast. You want to use scratchy back brushes followed by smooth oils, ice cubes to sort of stimulate your heated bodies, play with, you know, the ice and all that rest of it. And finish by wrapping each other in large warm towels. Now that you're clean, you're relaxed, and you're feeling sexy, maybe try one of the following exercises. The sensual touching techniques. Yes, we have a few. You know, it's really important that you have to discover how responsive your bodies are to certain sensations. So the reason I recommend this particular one, it heightens your potential for sexual arousal, is that you want to try all kinds of different ways of being touched with different things. So again, you're going to be naked. You want that space prepared that I talked about earlier. And make sure you have collected some textured objects, so soft objects, silky objects, smooth, warm, cool, scratchy, all kinds of things. So the partner that's being touched, lie naked on a bed or wherever is comfortable, and if you're brave enough, blindfold yourself, because that's going to heighten the experience. And the secret of success is to make sure you're lost in the moment, allowing yourself to feel every sensation to the fullest by thinking of nothing else. And remember to give feedback to the toucher and tell them straight up what feels good, what feels great, what feels not so great. The partner doing the touching, before you start, you could use an old-fashioned hairpin to actually find your partner's non-genital erogenous zones. So slowly run the soft end of the hairpin over their body so you can find out where they have these special spots. Because many of us are quite different. And then move to doing the exercise over their highly sensitive erogenous zones, their breasts, their nipples, their buttocks, their genitals. It's your job to provide, as the toucher, a wide range of different stimuli for your partner to experience. So you want to work from head to toe again, experimenting with a range of different objects and textures, silk scarf, soft blusher, brush, that kind of thing. Tell your partner, if your partner's blindfolded, ask them, can you tell the difference between suede, leather, velvet, how about rubber or a feather, and try touching them with a massage roller or a ball. Experiment with different pressures, different strokes. Heighten the sensory expectation by making random rather than predictable movements. And remember, ask what feels good and what feels best. And when you're in the erogenous zones, the high ones, the genitals and the breasts and all that kind of thing, remember what you're doing and how they respond to apply your newest tricks later. When you've had enough, swap roles. So that's kind of the idea. And you can do circles, you can press with your hand, you can press with your finger or your full palm, or, just different like strokes up and down using different lubes. But having the blindfold is really helpful. And just so, if you're embarrassed or shy. Let me see, discovering the newness in your partner. I think this is a really cute one. I found this one, I thought, wow, that really reminds me of the old days. And it's playing doctor and nurse. So after the age of 10, we tend to get very serious and shy about our private parts, and especially women. But if you and your partner lack the confidence to look at and touch each other's genitals, try this discovery exercise and be silly. This isn't necessarily a sexual encounter. It's a show and tell for grown-ups. It gives you both the opportunity to ask all the questions you never dare ask when making love, because pretty much it's a total passion killer. The doctor will see you now. One partner should be the patient, the other the doctor. And if you're the lucky one whose turn it is to be the doctor, you can now examine to your heart's content. So with appropriate physical gentleness, have a poke and a prod and check out the territory. And if you don't want to feel like a gynecologist when you're looking at your female partner, use a mirror. Just prop it up in a pillow between her open legs and explore the reflection. But if you want to go between the legs, I recommend that. So asking questions you like, such as, can you feel that? What's this for? And how far back can I go? Or how far in does it, what is this? And you can be using your fingers and putting yourself inside them and touching their scrotum and fondling their anus and all these things and opening their the hole in front, top of their cock, all that business, whatever it might be. So when you finish your examination, swap roles. And for some of this, it can feel really silly, but for others, you know what? It may be the first time they've actually initiated such an intimate act with their partners. There may be some people listening that have had their partner for like 10 years or whatever, and they've never actually had a light between their legs and have really had a good look at what's going on down there. But you know what's really, really great about this is that by the next time you're making love, you're going to be surprised how handy these little bits of information can be. And knowing how the territory looks helps enormously with orientation. And this one's for kind of the super shy ones out there. So, and now on to communication techniques. I mean, I really like, you to sort of really consider communication. This is probably the most important part of any trying to make things better in your relationship. So I'm going to start with the really shy people, and then I'm going to go on to the others. So next time you're caressing your partner, ask for feedback. Think about what you're doing and the information that you need. For example, would you prefer me to touch harder or softer? Do you prefer long or short strokes, up and down or round in circles? Ask them for feedback, flat of my hand or fingertips. Don't ask, is this nice? If you really want to know, it's, does this turn you on? Is this good? What would you like? Do you want this or this? Give them options. Agree on a scaling system. That's really important. So you can ask how much something turns them on. For example, 0 can equal nice and 10 can equal orgasm. So scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10. If you and your partner find it difficult to describe what you like, try the hand over hand technique. So you want to show them what you're doing, put your hand over theirs or put your hand on top of theirs and guide them. So this is an especially important exercise if you feel that sex tends to follow a pattern that fulfills your partner's desires instead of your own. So if that's what's happening in your relationship, it's time to pluck up the courage and tell them what you'd like. So I think I'll take a little break, but after the break, I'm going to have you get a pen and paper for this one and figure out and learn all these things. And I've got so many great ideas of how to spice up your sex life. So any callers, you're welcome to call. Let's take a short break. call in with your questions or comments on tonight's show, Spicing Up Sex. And keep that dial locked because you are in Juicebox, and I want you to come back and listen. Actually, this song that I'm playing is going to be so hilarious. You can call it 822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. It's CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. And the song I'm playing is called At a Medium Pace by Adam Sham. And it is so hilarious. So here we go. And we'll be right back.
Open it. You know what? Hold on.
I can't open the file, but I have a handy CD here, so I'm gonna just put it on live. They can't screw me this time. It's like this show. I tell you, the technology in this place, it's just, I don't know, it's probably me. I'm sure it is. All right, so where are we? CD one? All right, I can do it. Is it going? Okay, there we go.
Put your arms around me, baby. Can't you see I need you so? Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Play with my balls and tell me how big they are. Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off. You see that shampoo bottle now? Stick it up my ass. Push it in and out at a medium pace. Talk about your old boyfriend's dick and how big it was. Now shave off my pubes and punch me in the face. Oh, darling, make me push my dick and balls back between my legs. Call me an ugly woman and take my picture to show all the people you act with. Now pull up my scrotum and take the shampoo bottle out of my ass. Pretend I'm the pizza delivery guy and watch me whack off. Strap on a dildo and make me give you head. Tell me to slow down and do it at a medium pace. Oh, I feel so humiliated. I'm about to blow my load. You tell me it's time to make love, but now I can't cause I spewed all over myself. Then you look into my eyes and you realize how much I enjoy loving you. Whoa. I'm so sorry I spunked on my stomach. Maybe next time I'll be better at loving you.
Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, we're back. Thanks. Thanks for listening to that hilarious show. You are in Juicebox. Tonight we're talking about how to make your sex life less boring. And if you missed the first half of the show, you can get it on podcast on juiceboxradio.com or citr.ca after the show. I'll make sure that I put it up right away. And let me see. We're talking about communication tools. Well, I recommend you have a pen and paper for this particular exercise because sometimes we can only retain a few points. And if the conversation is a really difficult one for some people, like it is for myself, it's hard to have it again and again. So, number one, you really need to know your desires. We all have desires we like to have fulfilled, but we may be careful of suggesting them for fear of embarrassment. So, this exercise puts both of you in the same position of asking and offering and gives you the chance to say what you'd really like to have to do and to have done. So, for example, if you want to fuck them in the ass with a dildo, you know, that's something you want to do to them, you know. If you want to be fucked in the ass with a dildo, then it's something you want done to you. So what you want and what you'd like to offer needn't be extreme or exotic, like I just said. They can be as simple as having your feet rubbed or giving your partner a hug or a kiss or being told that you are, you know, I love you more often. The key is that you both make the giver and the receiver feel sexy and wanted. And it's a fair swap. So sit down on your own and write down 10 things you'd like to give your partner or that you'd like your partner to do to you sexually or romantically. And this can range, like I said, from tell you love me to squeeze my nipples harder while we're having intercourse or tie me up and fuck me. So whatever it might be. Then write down 10 things you'd like to do for them. So 10 that you want done to you, 10 you'd like to do for them. And then share your lists. Pick a time when you're both feeling happy and comfortable with each other. Settle down with a cup of coffee, glass of wine. Share your lists point by point. And find a scenario or a treat you'd like, really like your partner to give you and match it with something that they want. And agree to swap these experiences, either at a specific time and place or sometime within a set period over the next week, for example. Don't let it go. Don't let it say, okay, yeah, we'll do it sometime soon, but whatever. Make a date. Once you both have your desires fulfilled, go through the list again and choose something else. And this is good for people in long-term relationships because it's like it keeps reminding you to go and do these, have these sort of times together. You each have the right to say no to specific requests, but remember, it cuts both ways. So if you say no, they can say no. So keep an open mind, you know, just go beyond your comfort zone and keep swapping these sexual experiences or desires. Another way that I recommend adding spice to your sex life is to learn to fantasize. Because for some, you know, for especially men, fantasy is kind of an automatic extension of their imagination. For others, they may find it more difficult to visualize their sexual desires. But it's a skill that actually can be learned. So for those people who aren't big fantasizers, I'm not one. I mean, I try, even when I masturbate, I try to fantasize it. I have a hard time doing it. First, you got to find time to be by yourself, warm, comfortable, relaxed. Once you're feeling physically relaxed, begin to build a picture in your mind of your perfect erotic encounter. And as your picture develops, put in as much detail as possible. Really think about what you can see. Look around your scene, notice every feature, sounds you hear, what do you smell, what can you taste, what can you feel? The more detail you build into your fantasy, the more powerful it's going to be. So continue to build your fantasy for as long as you like, only coming back to reality when you're ready. If you're still finding it difficult to fantasize, you might want to explore erotica to find out what turns you on. Take a look at magazines, fantasy books, videos, erotic art, etc., porn, whatever. The more regularly you repeat the same fantasy experience, the more detailed and more powerful it becomes. Practice makes perfect. So if you're interested, the most common male fantasies, having sex with an existing partner, giving and receiving oral sex, having sex with more than one person, being dominant, being passive and submissive, reliving a previous experience, watching others make love, and trying new sexual positions. And the most common female fantasies include having sex with an existing partner, giving and receiving oral sex, having sex with a new partner, romantic or exotic locations, doing something forbidden, being submissive, reliving a previous experience, being found irresistible, and trying new sex positions. Sounds pretty common. There sounds like they're both the same, except the one guy is having sex with more than one person, and the other one is having sex with a new partner. So if the guys are into one person, the girls are having sex with a new partner. The guys, it's not that common having it with a new partner. It's more about having additional partners or new positions or getting more blowjobs. So now you can share your fantasies with your partner. But a word of caution about sharing fantasies, because some couples find that sharing and acting out their fantasies have that increases their trust and intimacy, and others, you really struggle with it. People have a hard time hearing it. Fantasies are extremely personal, and there are risks involved in disclosing them, especially to someone you care for. So consider how you're going to manage it. If they don't like your fantasy, or if you don't like theirs, and if you're trying to act it out and it just doesn't work. So sharing fantasies can be very liberating, but it can also be very risky. So talk to your partner first about the general theme of your fantasy, and then approach with caution. It's the best way. So, you know, when you've been with someone for a long time, it's really easy to take each other for granted. Like, that's the biggest thing. But you can bring the excitement back to your relationship by making, seriously, a regular date with your partner. Like, family, work commitments, chores, all make claims on your time, and often the first thing to fall by the wayside is special time spent alone as a couple. Lots of people socialize all the time as a couple, but spending time alone. And, you know, seeing each other every day, spending evenings in the same living room, sharing the same bed, can mean you forget the importance of making time for each other. And it may feel kind of silly and inappropriate as a live-in couple to make a date as though you've just met, but it really helps to keep your relationship alive and vital. It really, really does. Once a week, you should set aside time to be with each other on your own. So, you know what? Take out your planners and calendars and set them. So, where to go? Well, your date can be anywhere you like. You can go out to the cinema, pub, restaurant, or for a walk. You can set aside special time at home to watch a film together and talk about it after, make a meal together, relax on the sofa, and talk about yourself, your life, and really listen to each other. Just make sure that no one else is around to interrupt your evening. And make an effort. Put as much care and effort into your weekly date with your partner as you did when you first knew them. And never, ever, ever cancel just because something else comes up. And make sure you take good care of your appearance. Present yourself smelling, looking, and feeling as attractive as you possibly can. And actually, on the date, talk to your partner as if you're getting to know them for the first time. Tell them about your day, your thoughts, your feelings. Ask for theirs and listen really, really well. Because you know what? People change over time, and we can always, always, always learn something new about our partner, no matter how long you've been together. It's just about asking the right questions and listening. So I had some cute ideas for some date nights, and I was thinking that the blind taste experience sounded really good. So blindfolds and food have always had their places in sexual games, and they're a great way to bring fun and eroticism into your bedroom. Blind tastings build intimacy also, and they have that added element. So switch off the phone, lock the front door, and make sure you got a big throw sheet down. Things can get messy. So the blindfold, the silk scarf, make sure you tie it around each other's eyes. You can have whichever foods you like, but the wider the range, the better. Think about texture and smell as well as taste. So exotic fruits, yogurts, cheeses, anything from the sort of deli counter, range of crackers, different types of bread, and lots of sort of sugary, syrupy, chocolatey desserts. And don't forget to have some drinks. So fruit waters, alcohol, whatever. Blindfold your partner and gently caress the chosen food across their lips. Can they guess what it is by the texture? Can they describe how it feels and smells? Slowly and tantalizingly, let them have a very small taste. Can they guess what it is? If not, they may need a bigger bite or a bigger taste. Work your way through the foods, taking turns wearing the blindfold. Don't take it too seriously. Have a good laugh, but don't be tempted to be cruel if they don't get what you are feeding them, if they don't get it. Once you're finished, think about the following. How did it feel to be so dependent on your partner? How did it feel to be in control? Did you have any feelings you weren't expecting? And this is a good time to talk about that stuff and share with each other. So that's a kind of cool date. And then another one I thought was really cool, and this came from this tantric play weekend I went to a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, or a month ago, or whatever it was. We had this amazing tantric ritual at the end of the weekend where everybody basically, like, had all these foods, and it was like this amazing plethora of foods, like, you wouldn't believe it, like, all kinds of aphrodisiac type foods. I mean, depends on if you believe in aphrodisiacs. I think so. So, you know, whatever, even as a placebo. Like, you think the chocolate, you think the oysters, you think the asparagus is all going to be aphrodisiac. You know, it might just work. Because you're eating these things that are like phallic and whatever, and like the oysters are like a yoni and whatever. They say there is something in oysters. I tend to believe it. So anyway, but if you're doing this alone, you know, spend time preparing your meal together. Even, you know, sharing a task of making a meal together really brings couples closer. So choose foods that have to be assembled by hand, laid out on plates, that kind of thing. Don't be afraid to get cream, peanut butter, tomato sauce, everything all over you and your partner. This is the fun of it. Use a special sheet for this love exchange so you don't get stressed out again. And then lots of little hand things, peaches, figs, asparagus, etc., good foods. And then make a beautiful setting to share this meal and allow your partner to fill a bowl of food. So you let you yourself fill the bowl of food of what you want, and then your partner does that too. And without using any words whatsoever, no verbal communication, just nonverbal, begin feeding each other. And you can try closing your eyes while you savor each bite, spread the food on certain body parts. Careful not to get food inside your vagina, girls. And just play. Be creative. I mean, when you're done, you may want to have a shower before making love, if that's what you choose, or if your genitals are clean, like you didn't eat food off your genitals, then go for it. But otherwise, I'd recommend rinsing them. But again, you know, nonverbal communication and just feed each other. You're not allowed to touch your own food. You have to feed. You have, your partner has to feed you every single thing from your bowl. You can't sort of say, I want that or whatever. All nonverbal, with your eyes and spreading things on body parts and just having a lot of fun with that. Be creative. So you can choose not to have sex and just leave the experience as it is. Talk about it as you clean up, or just stay silent the rest of the night, perhaps sharing next time you see each other or the next morning. Because often we get into a pattern of boredom because we just have never spent time, or it's been a long time since we explored our own body, like in our partner's bodies. So I really recommend, you know, and I say this to people all the time, it's like, get to know what it is that turns you on. And that's what I was talking about with the faking orgasm thing last week. It's like, if you don't know what turns you on and you don't know what gets you off, you can't communicate that to your partner. So, you know, having, like, you know, I think if you make a really big night of it, you know, you have a bath or a shower, and you really focus on rubbing, like, the oils and creams in your body after your bath or shower, really pamper yourself, you know, focus on the warmth of the water when you're in the bath, really get into the senses, you know. And do you like to dry yourself vigorously or softly? You know, like, do you prefer, you know, to have, like, body lotion or oils rubbed on you? Like, what parts of your body do you like to touch? Experiment with different pressures. And then, of course, touching your chest, particularly your nipples, and moving your hands down. Focus on your stomach. Don't forget any part of your body. Finish with your inner thighs, and then move up into your genitals. And you know what? Getting to know your genitals again. This is a really important thing to do. It's like, use lots of lube, boys and girls. Try different directions. Try different strokes. Try different speeds, all with your fingers and hands. Try to keep away from the dildos for this one. And you know what? There's tons of great books about self-pleasuring. Get one and learn again what it takes to get you off. And then you got to communicate it to your partner. Don't be self-conscious. If this exercise makes you feel a little bit self-conscious, remind yourself that the better you know yourself, the better your sex life is going to be. So lastly, to sort of end the hour here, I want to talk about increasing your pleasure with each other. I mean, sort of on your own, more importantly, like on the own thing. I'm sort of ending with what you can do on your own. And that is going to add spice to your sex life, because it might just be that you're not having very strong orgasms, or that you're coming too soon if you're a guy, and you know, your partner's got a problem with that or whatever. So really, it's so much of this is about your pelvic floor muscles. So your PC muscles, your pubococcyx muscle, it's a surefire way to exercise your way into a better sex life. So for some people, they don't know where their PC muscles are, and they're the same exact muscles you use to stop your flow of your urine. So next time you try to go pee, try to stop the pee, and those are the PC muscles I'm talking about. So some of the benefits to men with you have regular exercise of the PC muscles is that it supports your penis, your bladder, and your rectum. It has lots of health benefits. It improves blood circulation to the genital area, which helps arousal, which helps stronger and more pleasurable orgasms, which gives you a greater feeling of control and confidence over ejaculation, which improves your angle of erection, and which avoids urinary incontinence for the older set. So they're really important exercises to do for your whole life. And there's two different exercises I recommend for men. One is to improve your endurance, and the other one is to increase your muscle bulk and strength. So the muscle bulk one, to increase that, you basically pull your pubococcyx muscles up and hold for a count of 10 seconds. So you really have to hold it, you know, pretty hard. But don't hold too much or hold your breath, because you're just actually tensing your abdominal muscles or your buttocks. So you really, and you'll get better at it. So that count of 10 seconds and then let go. And make sure you let it release for at least 3 seconds in between, because the muscles are quite deep and a lot of them are, what do you call it, the non not whatever you, I can't think of the word right now. The ones where it's like your heart muscle and the, you know, your lung muscles and stuff where you have no
not
control
vital.
Over them, whatever. Mm. What's that?
Vital organs.
The vital organs, yeah. So you basically need to relax your PC muscles for at least 3 seconds after this long hold. So hold 10, release for 3, and repeat that 10 times. The other one is to increase endurance. So as before, pull them in, ensuring you're only using your PC muscles, and then hold for hold for 30 seconds, sorry. So the first one's 10 seconds, and that's to make them stronger and more bulky. And then the other one's for 30 seconds, and repeat that 10 times. And that one is to help you with your endurance. So the reason that you have to hold it for 30 seconds is because you're going to come. Like, if you're a guy and you're going to ejaculate, you need to be able to really hold that PC muscle in to keep your prostate squeezed and not allow you to ejaculate.
Breath too, pulling up the breath.
Yes, the breath is really important. Yeah exactly. Thank you, my little tantrika.
Little
two bits. My tantrika is finally talking. Let me see. Repeat this 10 times, and of course, every morning, every evening, guys, really important. It doesn't matter if you're doing them lying down, sitting, or standing. The important thing is that you do them regularly. So it may take up for 12 weeks to notice some of the benefits, guys, but you'll definitely notice the benefits. Give it a try. For women, it happens a little faster. It's about 6 weeks for women to notice benefits. For men, it's about like 12 weeks. So for women, the benefits include improved blood circulation to the genital area. And that's where all the orgasms come from, girls, is the blood circulation to the genital area. So sexual arousal, stronger and more pleasurable orgasms, a greater feeling of control and confidence on vaginal penetration, like you're going to feel being penetrated more. Avoids urinary incontinence, which some of us are actually getting younger and younger. If you laugh too hard or you sneeze too hard. So it also avoids vaginal prolapse, which means that your uterus starts to come into your vagina. Which increases pain on penetration. So helps with all of that. And there's two different types I want to recommend for women. They're known as slow Kegels, which strengthens the muscle and improves the length of time you can consciously hold them. And the second are the fast Kegels, which improve your pelvic floor, how quickly it can tighten when you cough or sneeze, and it helps with orgasm. So the slow one, you start by breathing in, and as you blow out, slowly and gently squeeze your pelvic floor and hold it for 5 seconds, and then continue to breathe normally. And when you can, increase the hold to 10 seconds. But don't be tempted to squeeze too hard, or you're going to be using the wrong muscles. Women tend to have a lot more muscle in that area, and it can engage your abdominal muscles and stuff like that. So you really want to try to focus. So sometimes it's good to start by lying on the floor, where you can kind of be relaxed and just really feel that area. So start by doing 4 or 5 squeezes morning and evening, gradually build up to 10 squeezes, holding 5 seconds, making sure that you continue to breathe normally. And the fast Kegels are done exactly the same way, except that you squeeze quickly and let go quickly and don't hold on at all. And it's really important that when you rest for 3 seconds in between each fast squeeze, so squeeze and then release and let it totally release for 3 seconds. And then repeat that for 10 times. And if you can do that morning and night, you're going to have the most fit vagina and you're going to have the strongest orgasms in your world. And once you become fully confident with doing these exercises lying down, women, you can try doing them in a sitting position. And again, it may take up to 6 weeks to notice the benefits, but you're going to definitely notice them. So, anything to add, Faustine?
No, I'm quite
sick. She's quite sick. Okay. Next time she'll be on, I promise, she'll probably say a thing or two, I'm sure. She's a very knowledgeable woman, especially in health and nutrition and all those good things. So mm-hmm. You should have talked about the aphrodisiacs. You must know some.
Yes, of course I do.
Can you share a few of them? Come on!
Oh, gosh. There's Yohimbe, which is actually, I think, it's actually used as an old pupil dilator back in the ancient times.
Yohimbe.
But it will cause, it can cause a lot of anxiousness in a lot of people. But for men, it's one of the strongest ones for erectile dysfunction.
Oh, cool.
But it raises testosterone levels, so it can make you a little bit on edge.
Aggro?
Yeah. Yeah. And you look high if you're taking it and you're gone to work. Your pupils are highly dilated, so
okay.
Just another warning.
So you're going to be like looking high, getting a bit aggro. Maybe you're not best. Maybe it's best for the weekend.
Yeah.
How long does it last, the UMB?
It's one of the strongest ones, and I don't know, it might not even be regulated in Canada, so I don't know if I should even be recommending it.
Oh, that's okay, we can order it online.
Stick to the Damiana is great for both men and women, actually. Women, when their testosterone levels are higher, their libido also elevates, but also their muscle maintenance elevates, so it even helps the workout. Maybe even the sexual workout as well. So, yeah. Damiana. It sounds kind of like
Damiana.
The devil.
Cool. Well, that's super helpful. And I'm sure listeners appreciated listening to something other than my voice tonight. So, you know what? Knowing what turns you on, open communication about that, and the honesty that naturally ensues are definitely the cornerstones to fantastic sex. And for the sake of your sex life, begin these journeys to discovering yourself and your partner. Do it. Don't be shy. Get off your lazy asses and do it. Add a date to your agenda, just for the two of you, every week. And get some books on what to do with and each other to bring your sex life back into its spicy side. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show, Spicing Up Sex. And Juicebox will be back. I'm sorry. I never giggle like this. We'll be back next week with another original late night sex talk show. And I'm going to have some really hot guests in next week. Some amazing guests. So informative. These guys are huge swingers, poly, S&M folk that I've sent down to Synchronicity. Remember that really super hot sex party I went to in April last year? Or this year, sorry. Well, there's another one happening next weekend. And I can't go myself, so I'm having some amazing friends from Vancouver go down and check it out. And some of those people are going to be in the house next Wednesday to talk all about it and other alternative sex party scenes that are happening in our cozy little town. And in the meantime, feel free to email me with your issues, with your questions about sexuality or relationships, and that's at julia@juiceboxradio.com. And you know what? You can check my blog every week as well and keep up to date with what's happening. Contribute your own thoughts on the show or its content or just whatever, please. God damn it. I love hearing from you, so it just makes me feel loved. And I also need content ideas. I need show ideas. I've been doing this show for over 3 years, you guys. I need new ideas, so send them along. And thanks for listening. So stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with the very hot Marion, who just arrived in the house, gets my blood boiling every time. Oh my God, he just smelled my hair. Oh my God, I smell like cigarettes. Don't smell me. I'm quitting smoking in 3 weeks.
Thank you.
Jesus, I'm so blushing right now. All right, well, thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. I'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Sorry, I didn't know you.
You just experienced Juicebox, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune in to Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 8. In the meantime, you can email us at juiceboxradio.com.